And we're gathered here this morning, and I was asked by Earl last week to have a memorial service for Joyce. Sometimes the hardest one of the hardest things is knowing how to begin, how to even start. But let me just put it this way. First of all, I feel like I have to lay a little foundation this morning. And then I am going to remember Joyce. It'll be the second thing. But thirdly, I want to talk to us personally about some things. On November the 10th, God removed Joyce from this world. Now, the common phrase used concerning this event is death. Now, I'm not here to criticize that. I'm not saying that's wrong. We make phrases like that. So-and-so died. We say Joyce died. That's true, but it's not the truth. You know what I'm saying? It's true, but it's not the truth. You see, when speaking of death concerning a believer in Christ, which Joyce was, we must put that event in its proper perspective. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Mainly just this first verse, but I want to read the whole thing so we kind of get the context. Now think of it, I'm talking about we say death. Okay? Now Paul writes, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved." Now the context, if you read it, Paul's talking about we will lay down this body one day. That's what he's talking about. And let me just read it briefly again. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And the older you get, even physically, the more you begin to realize this. Because our bodies, while growing and aging, are constantly dying. So he says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our home which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked." He's talking about having another body. That's what he's talking about. God created man to have a body.
Yes, sir.
Okay? We're created different from the angels. The angels don't have flesh and bone and blood bodies, Mason. They don't have that. But God created man to have that forever.
That's right.
Forever. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life."
Amen.
See that? But again, let me point out that first verse. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building." Paul clearly, though, makes a distinction between us, our person, and our body.
Yeah.
You see, we must, as I said, put this event, as what it is, that dying, death, for a believer.
Yeah.
For a believer. We must put it in a proper perspective. For the believer, death is but the putting off of this earthly body.
Yeah.
Now that's for the believer. Now for other believers, there's a lot more that's added in there. And I'll talk about that later. That's for us personally. Now we're laying the foundation. Think about it. A believer in Christ, that is the person. Okay? A believer in Christ, the person, even though the body dies, that person was given life. Now let me explain. That is, the person was given life even before the body died. They said, well, that person, in other words, we say, people say, well, speaking spiritually, speaking of salvation, God gives us life when we're alive. That is, before we die. You know what? That's not true. We weren't alive. There may have been time when we, as a person, and having a body which was alive, yet Scripture says we were what? Dead. Right? We were dead while we lived. The person was dead while the body lived. Huh? But look at that. Now we say of those believers who went on, that person truly lives. I mean, that person lives life as life was intended to be lived, though the body for us is gone. Oh, what a glory that is. You see, the person was given life even before the body died, because that person was dead even though the body was living. And this is what our Lord's talking about. John chapter 5, our Lord said these words. Now, I know this is familiar probably to everyone. You've probably heard at least quoted. Verse 24, our Lord said, verily, verily, that is truly, truly, and he says it twice, not because, like we often say, we say, well, now, I'm telling the truth when I say this. We have to say that because we're prone to lie. Yeah. So that we're trying to prove to people we're telling the truth now.
Exactly.
That's not why our Lord did this. He's emphasizing this. Yes. Pay great attention to this. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life.
Amen.
Now notice it does not say gets everlasting life. You have to have life before you can ever hear and believe.
Amen.
Hearing and believing are the manifestations of eternal life having been given.
Amen.
You don't hear and believe to get. You hear and believe because you've received.
Amen.
And that's what it's teaching. And the Greek is far more, it reveals it far more than the English does, but the English still says it. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, what? Hath. Right? It includes even the hearing, which must come before believing, right? Because you can't believe on a person that you've never heard of. But the life exists even in the what? The hearing. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed, what? From death unto life. God didn't give us life while we were alive. God gave us life while we were dead.
Yes, sir.
We've already been raised.
Yes, sir.
Huh? We've already been raised. Now somebody said, but that's spiritual life. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But it's real life.
Exactly.
I mean, it is real life.
Yeah.
Because God is spirit.
Yes, sir.
And he is life. You see, people often, when we talk about spiritual life, spiritual things, they think ethereal.
Yeah.
They think smoky. You know what I mean? Spiritual life is just a theory. No, it's a reality.
Amen.
I was dead, but because God gave me life, I heard and believed, and that proves I'm no longer under condemnation. I've passed from death unto life. That's good, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
That's good. But you know what? Our Lord went even further than that. Turn over to John chapter 11. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ takes his people. Well, I will say it this way, and I'm sure it could be thought out in a better way to say it. But he'll take us right to the edge. Right to the edge. Most people try to lay back, you know. Anyway, John chapter 11. The account here is of Lazarus.
Sir.
Our Lord had told the disciples, you know, Lazarus not doing well. Lazarus sleeps. And they said, well, if he sleeps, he does well. Well, they didn't know how right they were, but they didn't understand what they were saying. They thought physically he was asleep. Finally, our Lord had to tell them plainly, because we're so dull sometimes of really hearing. He said, Lazarus is dead. Right?
That's right.
So anyway, he waits 3 days. That's what our Lord waited 3 days.
Exactly.
Now think about this, and let me, for the sake of time, I have to limit this to a certain part of this. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, you could have prevented this. Right? Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Who's she blaming for Lazarus' death?
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you something. God kills.
Yeah.
And God makes alive.
Yeah,
but you don't blame God.
Exactly.
And Martha's intent here is not to incriminate him. But her emotions are just, Lord, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have died. No, he was there. He knew what was going on. He was there, wasn't he? But now, here's the glory of this. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. You see, this woman believed God.
Yeah.
But not as strongly in reality as her words said. Now look at it. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto thee, thy brother shall rise again. Now she just said, I know whatever you say.
Yeah.
I know God's going to give it to you. Well, I know he'll raise again in the resurrection in the latter day. Huh? No, Christ meant your brother's going to raise again. Right here in just a few minutes.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's talking about. Huh? Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And listen, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. See, that's where we begin. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And here's the kicker. And whosoever liveth, that comes first.
Yes, sir.
Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Amen.
Believest thou this?
Amen. Yes,
now, folks, whether we can comprehend it, we need to apprehend it. We must say, Lord, yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Because I'm going to tell you, the person does not die.
That's right.
Joyce is not dead.
Exactly.
Her body died. Mm-hmm. God separated her from that body.
Yep.
Now to prove that point, or another illustration or something that will help us maybe grasp this just a little better, is Revelation chapter 20. Now, let me say that for the person who believes in Christ, it says, shall never die.
Amen.
And obviously, I've got to remember this because I know Earl Cochran's done said that when he's gone, if anybody here is still around will say that Earl Cochran's dead, he said, I'll jump up and bite you.
Still got my teeth.
he's still got his teeth, too. Why are we being frivolous? No, we're saying what our Lord said. We're believing Him.
Yes, sir.
A believer cannot die.
Amen.
When a believer dies, you see, I know that people say, well, this is, you know, it's funny speech. No, when the believer lays this body down, that person then knows what real life is.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Because they are with the Lord. And I can't explain it, but I am persuaded that they already have a glorified body. I know, listen, now just think about this. Remember, Lazarus died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, lifted up his eyes in hell, right? And he asked Abraham to tell Lazarus to do what? What did he tell him to do? Look at the rip. Dip his finger in water.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said? Yeah. We know on the Mount of Transfiguration that two men appeared with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Not two spirits,
yeah.
Two men.
Yeah.
Recognizable by Peter, James, and John.
Yeah.
Now, I can't explain that, but there it is.
Yeah.
You know? The truth is this. The believer cannot die.
Amen.
Though the body be dissolved. We still are, not just alive. See, are not, we then truly know life.
Yes.
Now think about it. Revelation 20, the last part of it. This is not a real pleasant passage. But look at it. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, for there was found no place for them. And I saw the, what's that say? Dead, small and great, do what? Stand before God. Now the context, if you read all of this, is that here is a second resurrection. That's the context. There's a first resurrection. That was before. Okay, these people lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. After 1,000 years is over, they will be dead men stand before God. Now, they're not corpses. But does it ever say, well, here they are alive? Because they're not alive. These people are dead. Though they exist. They're called dead. You see, and they stand. Even though we know there has been a resurrection. And as our Lord said, these people are unto the resurrection of, it's not called life. It's not even called existence. It's called the resurrection of damnation. That's what it's called. And I saw the dead stand, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead. They're still called dead.
Yeah.
You see it? Why? Because they never had life.
Yeah.
They never had life. They're truly dead. Mm-hmm. Dead in the truest sense. The books were opened, which another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they... See, here's the person. There's persons there.
Yeah.
And yes, the indication there's been a resurrection here, but they're still not called alive.
That's right.
They're called dead. To die outside of Christ is to die.
Yes, sir.
And it is, as it goes on to say, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. You see the differentiation in Scripture between people who are dead and people who are alive? Or I should better say, people who are dead and people who live?
Yes, sir.
What an amazing thing. You see, a lot of people think that some of these things in the Bible, things like that, are just for intrigue. No, they're not for intrigue. They're truth. They're the reality of God's purpose in this world.
Yes, sir.
I believe, thus saith the Lord. I believe that when a believer is absent from their body, they are what?
Present
with the Lord.
Amen.
So they are alive. They have life, right? They're just what? Absent from the body.
Exactly.
Now I believe this of Joyce. Joyce believed the truth of the gospel. Matt, she believed the truth of the gospel. Not too many people believe that anymore.
That's right.
Not too many people believe that anymore. I mean, it is, when you sit down and think about it, it's saddening. And one reason it's so saddening is because the truth of the gospel has been around.
Yes, sir.
Forever, basically. But I mean, it's been around.
Yes, sir.
But when you begin to speak the truth of the gospel in our day and age, people, it's like it's some weird new thing, like you're some cult.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I had a fellow write me one time and told me I was a member of the occult. Not just a cult, but the occult. He manifests his ignorance. You know? I mean, people, what kind of weird doctrine is this? Well, it's that which Christ taught in the days of his pilgrimage here on this earth, and it's that which he passed to his disciples, it's that which they penned in this book, and it's the same truth that we've been preaching for about 2,000 years now. Sadly, in this day, it's not quite as prevalent, it's not preached as much, okay? But I'm not saying that there was a time when the gospel was really loved. The only people that love the gospel are those that God gives life to.
Yes, that's it.
Joyce believed the truth of the gospel. And believing the truth of the gospel is the manifest token of her being loved of God and chosen of God. That's the manifest token. There are a lot of other things that come along, but that's the manifest token.
Yes, sir.
For instance, a person could have great philios, great affection, great human affection for this group, like to really be around us, but I don't really believe like they believe. Well, you've got a problem then.
Yeah, you do.
That's right. I don't care how filios you are of us, you best agape the truth.
Yeah, that's it.
Love the truth. Listen, 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks. Paul, we must.
Yes, sir.
We must.
Yes, sir.
But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because.
Yes.
Why? Here it is. Here's the reason. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Amen.
Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Amen.
I don't have time to go through the truth of the gospel this morning. I started, God put me in this about 25 years ago, and Earl, I'm still trying to tell the truth of the gospel.
Still don't have time.
Still ain't got to this, still ain't covered it all, still has not exhausted these truths. But let me put it this way. The truth is, Jesus Christ is none other than God Almighty manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
And God Almighty does as he pleases.
Amen.
And what you believe, what you hold to, don't fit under that. It's not the gospel. God has never tried to do anything.
Exactly.
God does as he pleases.
Amen.
Among the armies of heaven, everybody says, well, that's all right, yeah, God can rule over them. But it also says among the inhabitants of the earth.
That's right.
None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You know, Joyce believed that. You see, that gives me hope.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me say that she didn't just believe that, but she publicly confessed Christ as Lord and the answering of a good conscience toward God.
Yes, sir.
She was willing to publicly show that she believed this truth and this gospel and joined with this crowd by going into the water before this crowd. In obedience to Christ in water baptism. And God's people get the opportunity, that's what they do.
Yes, sir.
We know that's not the matter of their justification before God. The thief on the cross didn't get that opportunity,
right.
Did he? But yet that day he was found where? In paradise with Christ. He left his body hanging on that tree, but where was he?
Yeah.
In paradise with Christ. Another thing. Joyce's devotion to the truth was heightened in that she recognized and rejected false religion and error. I'm not talking about what she's out here trying to tell everybody where they was wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. You see, a person can be academically taught the truth of the gospel.
Yeah.
And especially if they've been brought up under it and they've not been out there taught a lot of false doctrine, they're brought under this, so they kind of, this is what we believe, you know. Yeah. It's what mom and dad believes, what brother and sister believes, what grandpa believes, grandma believes. You know, you can teach them academically the truth of the gospel.
Oh, yeah.
And it becomes just, well, this is what we all believe, you know. But when God calls a person by the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, they begin to see those things that do not glorify Christ.
Yeah.
They can recognize error as well as truth.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You see, if you can't recognize error as well, how do you really know what the truth is? Uh-huh. You see? And let me just put it this way. When Joyce was here with us, and when she was here with us, if she was here several minutes before the message started, the service started, or hereafter, after the service was over, we sat around and we talked about the person and work of Christ, the truth. And we discussed the error that was all around us. Well, isn't that what we've done?
Oh, yeah.
Matt, this is not just something she believed. It was who God made her to be. It's a part of who she was.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I want to stress, I'm not saying she's out here telling everybody what's right and what's wrong. Let me tell you, when I'm out here, when I go to work, I don't talk to people there like I talk to you here.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you'd have to help me find another job.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I hide stuff. I mean, somebody asks me the question, I'll give them the answer straightforward.
Yes, sir.
But see, we are here to gather together as the people of God to worship God in truth, unhindered by cares about people getting ticked off and upset and mad.
Yes, sir.
That's what we're here for. Another thing I think about is she enjoyed the fellowship of the saints. She enjoyed being here. Couldn't always be here, but she enjoyed being here. You know how I know that? I remember that laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
When she's around, she laughed, you knew she's around. Huh? And usually a person, and I'm not talking about just laughing over frivolous, silly nonsense. I'm talking about just being together with people she wanted to be around, and you can laugh. If you can't do that, something's wrong with you. You know? It's an enjoyment of the fellowship of the saints.
Yes, sir.
And the thing about, and there were not a lot of occasions, but there were several in comparison with the time she was able to be here, that when I would walk in either on the porch or through that back door, she was the one that would engage me in conversation, not me engage her in conversation. She sought out the fellowship. She didn't sit back and say, well, somebody owes me this. Somebody needs to come to me and tell me they're thinking about me. You know what I'm saying? And let me just, this last thing concerning Joyce personally. She knows the fellowship of being in glory with the Lord.
Yes, sir.
We believe that. We bow to God in faith believing. And we know she is where we want to be.
Amen.
And if you don't want to be there, I'm not saying you want a death wish. That's not what I'm talking about. But if the hatred of the gospel, this world, if the enemies of the truth of God is not a reality to you, then you can't relate to that.
That's right.
And if you profess to be a believer and you can't relate to that, you need to make your calling and election sure.
Amen.
Because when you believe the truth and love the truth, eventually it leaks out on you even when you try to keep it quiet. And eventually somebody gets mad at you. And there are some people that get mad at you and they won't let it go. They won't let it go. And also there's the trials and tribulations of life in general. And you get tired. And it's not that, well, I want to just die. You know, it's not what I'm talking about. But because you believe God, you know, to be there, as Paul said, is what? Far better. You see, I happen to believe that.
Yes, sir.
To be with my Lord's better than being here with you.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Plain and simple. Now, we've got just a few minutes left. Concerning us. Psalms 116. Again, here's probably one. It's familiar, probably because most people have probably heard it quoted. Psalms 116, verse 15. And I thought about that. I mean, this is familiar to me. I knew about it. You know, I've quoted it before. But I never really took stock of it before. Look at what it says. Verse 15 of the 116th Psalm. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And that one word that had escaped me, that just never dawned on me, was the first one. Precious.
Amen.
You see that? Precious. There's several ways this is translated, and it's not that one's so much better than the other. Sometimes they just translate them because the wording would flows better, but they all mean basically the same thing. But think about it. I'm going to use these others. Look at it. Prized in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Yes, sir.
Valuable in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Yes.
Excellent in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Amen.
And here's this last one. Of great value in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because the truth is, it is when we lay down this body, is when Christ, actually our Redeemer, our Mediator, actually brings about the final transformation. We are actually taking Mason into his presence glorified.
Yes, sir.
That's what everything he did, that he came in his condescension, God Almighty becoming flesh forever. The Son will always be flesh, eternally.
Yes, sir.
And he did all that. Why? So that we might ultimately be with him.
Yes.
That's what all this is about.
Yes,
you know?
Sir.
You see, it's a good thing to be resigned to the glory and the honor of God and His purpose. It's a good thing to be. It's a good thing that when you can read, let me read you a couple verses here. It's a good thing when you can relate to these. Psalms 4, verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not.
Yes,
sir. Well, sometimes, folks, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
You got no answers. You got no specific answers as to why. Why right now? Why at this time?
Yeah.
Now, we can come up with all kinds of ideas. Mm-hmm. But it says, stand in awe and sin not. The way the Apostle Paul uses this, but Paul changes it a little. You know what Paul says? Be angry and sin not.
Yeah.
Now, anybody comes along and says, well, I never get angry. Well, you're a liar. You get angry and now you lie. You know? Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. Think about what you really are.
Yeah.
And be still.
Amen.
Selah. Huh? Selah. Mm-hmm. Think about this one. Psalm 46. Verse 10. Very similar. Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
I will be exalted among the heathen. Mm-hmm. I will be exalted in the earth.
Amen.
So again, I say it's a good thing to be resigned to the glory and the honor of God and His purpose, wherein we find ourselves relating to that, you know?
Yes, sir.
But sometimes. Huh? But sometimes. Saturday evening when I got home, that was on the 10th, I had a message on my answering machine from Linda. Told me that Joyce had died. Earl wanted me to call him. So as soon as I got things kind of set away there, I called Earl. And we talked for a little while. And it was this and that. And he asked me to do this service this morning. We quit talking. We hung up. And I sat there by myself in that dark house. One little light on. And I thought, I've had to do this. It's going to be 4 times in 4 months in which death has affected my family. I said, God, why don't you kill the enemy? Why don't you go out here and kill some of their loved ones? Mm-hmm. Y'all don't think that way, do you? Mm-hmm. Was I mad at God? No, I wasn't mad. I just want God to get them too. Huh? But you know what? He does.
Oh, yeah.
All men go this way.
Exactly.
One of these days, apart from Christ coming first and His return, each and every one of us will lay down this body.
Yes, sir.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's just we're such a small group. And there's, here we had John Farron, but then there was a time, Earl, that all of a sudden, bam, 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 here it is. And I'm thinking, and the problem for me was, it was selfish. Why do I have to do this again? You know? That's not a good feeling. I'm not sitting here telling you that was a good thing. I'm just talking to you about reality. Somebody said, but we don't want to fail our God. No, we do not.
That's right.
Do we?
Exactly.
Anybody that said, well, I don't care whether I honor God or not. Well, you just quit playing then.
Yeah, you can quit.
Quit professing to be what you're not and just quit.
Yeah.
And quit aggravating the devil out of everybody else around you.
Yeah.
Just tell them what you really think and say, I'm done with it.
Uh-huh.
Quit playing games. Or either get in the way and quit bellyaching and complaining. You know? But we do fail. Don't we? Now listen. Psalm 37. 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. And I don't believe, you can argue this, and it'd be difficult to prove either way. But I believe it's saying that the good man, that is a believer, that's what it's talking about.
Yeah.
One of God's people. That person delights in God's way.
Yeah.
Not God delights in my way. God's one mate. My steps are ordered of him. Of course he delights in it.
Yeah.
You know? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall. Wait a minute, you mean God orders my steps and I still fall? Oh yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's a part of it too.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, well, that makes God this or that. No, it don't. God is who he is. It don't make God anything. Quit your complaining and belly aching.
Exactly.
Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down.
Amen.
For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You'll fall, but he won't let you go all the way.
Exactly.
And somebody said, but if that happens, the enemy, though. Now, wait a minute. Read on down. Verse 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh the slave.
Yes, sir.
They're waiting for you to slip.
Oh yeah.
That's right, but you're going to slip. Mm-hmm. Just get it out of your head. Well, but I've got to be tough so the wicked don't have a... No, you... Though he fall. Huh? The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he's judged.
Amen.
Worry about God, what he thinks, not what the enemy thinks.
Amen.
Worry about the honor. I put it, this is better than that last phrase. Worry, be concerned about, have care for the honor and the glory of God. Not yourself and not the world or the enemy. And remember, of great value in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's right, even with the emptiness, the loneliness, the sorrow and the pain, and yes, sometimes the bitterness. I know, I've been there. Some of it was of right directions, most of it was not of right direction. But in spite of all that, God is merciful to move us from our trouble to his glory.
Yes, sir.
Now look at Psalms 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. For what reason? Huh? I will deliver thee. And thou shalt glorify me.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going into it. And I may one of these days preach on this. But sometime later on, you go to Psalm 77. And you read that psalm. And you will see in the first several verses, I think it's the first nine, you're going to hear the psalmist saying, me, mine, me, I, mine. Huh? But something happened. Somewhere along the line of verse 10 or 11, he starts talking to God and saying, thee, thou, thine.
Yes, sir.
You see, that's what it's all for. All of this, everything that happens is so that God might get honor and glory.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
That's
Father, I pray that you comfort Matt. And others, Lord, others. And some I don't even know their names. But Lord, pray that you comfort and guide and direct. And Lord, may we be enabled by thy Spirit to not only love your doctrine, but to love your actions, to bow to them in faith in spite of ourselves. And I ask you that in Christ's name. Amen.